and welcome to yet another edition of the Full Force News Burst, brought to you by GeneralsJoesReborn.com with me as your host, Chris Micro P.S. McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80. Joining me today to discuss the reveal of the Micro Machines Super Van City is Adam. Bet you never thought you'd hear me on a burst again, Riches. So without further ado, let's get stuck into this Micro News Burst. 8 months ago, we reported that Wicked Cool Toys had acquired the license to produce classic-style Micro Machines for Hasbro, then Jazwares bought Wicked Cool Toys, and now we have possibly the most convoluted toy development structure in the universe, until Hasbro just buy everyone up, of course. That would certainly make my life easier for this sort of crap. In any case, the triumvirate of toy tycoons revealed the first look at Super Van City a few days ago, and it looks absolutely fantastic. The truck itself is styled on a modern decked-out Sprinter and is quite a departure from the Airstream motorhome that the original Galoob Super Van City utilised. The van opens out into a sprawling metropolis with bridges, buildings and features galore. The set will retail at $50 later this year and will connect with, soon to be revealed at Toy Fair next week, playsets, and of course it will be compatible with the as-yet-seen vehicles and cars that we are all dying to see. Adam, thanks for joining me on this burst today, bud. First up, how excited does this make you for the upcoming Micro Machines line?
You know when you're like really excited about something, you're like, that's really awesome, but I'm probably never going to buy it.
That's
how
what
excited
this is.
I feel about it.
That's what this is.
I very much look forward to seeing it in a store.
Okay. And now, did you have the original Super Van City? Let's talk originals for a quick second.
I never actually had it. My cousin did, and I was always insanely jealous, but I did have a lot of Micro Machines.
Yeah, same. Like, I loved them. I thought they were so cool. I had the carry case, which was like just a flat front of a semi-truck, black and yellow one. And, you know, it was kind of like a briefcase, basically, that you put all the vehicles in and all that kind of stuff. And you had to cram them in the corners near, like, the... like basically you filled the entire thing and then you had to kind of find like ingenious ways of slotting vehicles in other places. What kind of figures did you have back then?
Man, just like a little bit of everything, I think. I mean, I had obviously a lot of the licensed stuff like Star Wars and all that, but I mean, just a lot of the city cars, planes. I did have the car wash with the little like spinning.
Yes.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
I used to really like the little mini play sets, like the little travel ones that you could kind of fold in half and put some, you know, put the kind of bits that fit on the top inside and a couple of vehicles and then just close it up and like store it away. I used to really love those. I had about like four of those, I think.
I think that stuff had so much play value as a kid. Like that, I really love. It's funny how now you see everything upscaling, like all the action figures are getting bigger. But like that was such a, you know, like Micro Machines, Mighty Max, like everything was, you know, teensy tiny, and you could get so much out of it and build these enormous sets. It was really a fun play pattern.
I love the military vehicles as well. They did tons of military stuff, didn't they? Like, and even like things like a green semi truck that would carry a tank. And on its flatbed at the back, just awesome stuff like that. I just absolutely adore it, and I think that's why I'm excited for this line.
Oh, I remember another one I really liked was the Power Rangers ones, because you could get the people really small. So then when you played with those in conjunction with the Bandai Zords, it was like on the show where they were teeny tiny people and the Zords were enormous.
Amazing.
You know, the scaling was good.
Amazing. I never even thought of doing something like that, but I suppose you could do the same with the Stormtroopers from the Star Wars release, couldn't you?
And definitely.
Have like tons of Stormtroopers next to like a much bigger vehicle. That's really cool. Never even thought about that. Obviously, I don't know why. But yeah, and
it's
unimaginative. It's true. I remember having the seat, the kind of cargo plane. I had that, the kind of C-130 kind of job with the nose that kind of flipped up so you could fit stuff in the front. And I also had the aircraft carrier, which... As a kid, I in my head, I thought it was massive, but it's actually really small. And I've seen it since, and it's just tiny, but I absolutely adored that thing.
Yeah, that is how growth works, yeah.
I mean, how do you think this particular new set then compares to the original, based on the images you've seen so far?
Well, you know, not that I think that the Mercedes-Benz Sprinter is like the coolest looking van design or anything, but it's you know, sleek-ish. This design that they've shown, and I've sent along some accompanying images here for the listeners. This looks like the most like Fast and the Furious early 2000s Birdman lugs, Pimp My Ride, energy drinks, JVC kaboom box. it's like, was this design like an unused concept from circa 2002? It's
does sound like you've just read out the brief they gave to the designer.
Yeah, like here's some design cues. You might want to look at this inspiration board. You know, the JVC Kaboom box, maybe. It's all like very got those like real like, you know, Birdman looks. This isn't a game, homie. You know, it's got the like the,
what
those like. Those, what? Like, flat, militarized, giant wheel hubcaps and, like, the ladder up the side.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just...
The graphics on the side as well, very... Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, you could easily see, like, flames shooting out of the back, and this is, like, a background vehicle in Fast and the Furious 1, you know?
But, I definitely agree. I think you could have seen this on toy shelves, like you say, in, like, kind of early 2000s, no problem. And... I do like it. I think it looks really fun, and obviously what it opens out to is awesome. But yeah, it's definitely got those design cues. It does look like it's got a Kaboom box for the front and rear axles, doesn't it? Like, just it looks like they've just gone, right, we'll just put the JVC boom box right there as the wheels.
Oh, yeah, it really does.
Front
you
and
look
back.
At, like, the part that goes over the wheel well, like right above the tire, it's like almost the exact same design pattern.
It's amazing. I agree with you, and I think yeah, it's something that I'm pretty sure we've seen on Pimp My Ride at some point. So.
One thing that is a little wonky about it, and I guess we won't really know until we've seen the actual product, but the original Supervan City is very smooth, like it's just basically a box.
Yes,
and I feel like having so many little pieces and dimensionality and stuff on it, because really it's not really a car; it's really a carry case that opens up into something, and so I feel like having all that stuff on it is going to lend itself to breaking pieces or easy damage or loss or whatever. So,
oh, this has got broken pieces written all over it. Definitely.
Yeah, that ladder looks like it's just like, you know, prime for the breaking, but I guess we'll see when we know what the actual product looks like.
I wonder if that ladder is more of a molded piece, you know, or like, you know, just kind of runs very close to the body. But I agree with you. I think if it is a Lucy, that is going to be, that's
yeah,
gone.
Yeah, that's gone. And that's the new heavy metal mic, if it is.
For me,
unfortunately,
it was Sergeant Slaughter's baton, and it was Scoop's mic, and it was, what else did I lose? And I'm pretty sure I lost one of Lowlight's bullets from the modern era as well. But then again, who hasn't lost a Lowlight bullet? I mean, okay, well, so with, I know we've kind of looked at that. What about the actual city itself? I mean, that looks chock full of awesome, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's really cool. I think for me, what this line is going to live or die by is marketing, because Micro Machines in and of themselves aren't the most exciting toy. I think the fun of them is building a huge collection of them and feeling like you can do this, you know, enormous scene or whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't think that at retail, at least, you know, from my childhood recollection, I don't think that's something I would have gravitated to had it not been for the commercials with the speed talking and making everything seem larger than life. So
yeah. I mean, I must admit, I loved the collectability of them as a kid. I've always loved small collectibles, and Micro Machines was just that absolute perfect kind of, it hit at the best time as well, and I remember kind of just being like amazed at what you would get, you know, what you would actually get for what you were paying, which was always really cool. Like, you'd always get like a ton of cars. I remember getting like those, do you remember those sets that were like two layers worth of sets on a carded box kind of job, and you'd have a layer in the top and a layer at the bottom, and you'd think, holy shit, man, there's like loads of like vehicles in here. It didn't take me long as well to build the collections up with all of those like multi-packs and stuff like that. So I think for me, I just fell in love with those. And when they did the deluxe ones, when they did the deluxe Micro Machines with the doors opening and the trying to find the Lamborghini Countach, for me was like, that was the one. I need that. I need to find that. I need to buy it. It was always sold out, that set that had the Lamborghini deluxe in it. And I wanted that so bad. I did eventually get it. I actually traded for it, I think, at school. So I can't remember what I gave them, but I don't know. I'm pretty sure
hopefully
I got
nothing good.
Hopefully it was. I think it was probably a carded scratch. And
yeah, I was going to say all of my childhood trade stories are horribly to the other person's favor. So I
Yeah, I gave him this Boba, this rocket firing Boba Fett, and got this like Pog, this Alf Pog. So I think
I've spent my whole adult life trying to reacquire the things I foolishly traded away as a child.
I know. So you end up being in like twice the debt, which is great, isn't it?
I think the worst one ever. I traded all of my vintage Star Wars, and I mean like 70s and 80s vintage Star Wars, to a comic store. This is probably like 20 figures to get enough to get the Nintendo 64 game Banjo Kazooie. You could probably get that game now for $5.
Oh my goodness, mate. Well, that's not as bad as me. Well, at least you got something out of it. I sold all mine at a car boot, aka what do you guys call it?
Yard sale, garage sale.
Yeah, but yeah, from the boot of a car in a field in the middle of nowhere, I sold my entire Star Wars collection. Which it wasn't. We're not talking like boxed and carded. We're talking loose. But the whole lot went, and someone bought like the figures for 50p, which would have been about 20 cents back then. And like, honestly, it was just, when I think about what that all went for, it makes me cry inside. So let's move on to what you expect to see in terms of vehicles next week at Toy Fair. What are your preconceptions going into this? Do you think you're going to be seeing the same kind of classic style? Do you think there's going to be difference in the build? Do you think they're going to use different materials? What are your thoughts on what we're going to see in terms of the cars and vehicles?
I think judging by the design cues of this, I would imagine everything will look like we're picking up where we left off in the late 90s when the line ended the first time. So, yeah. So we'll get like a Scion and like a
well, that kind of box is like that kind of cereal box.
I don't know. I think I would have to imagine that Supervan City is going to be sort of the cornerstone of the initial offering. So yeah. I would think whatever else we're going to see is probably going to be smaller, like four packs and little tiny play sets and stuff like that. Just looking at the way that this is designed, I would think that you'll probably see some of those, like stuff like the car wash or like an airport, like tiny little sets that can link up to the sides of this. But with this being the $50 price point item, I would think everything else is probably going to be 20 and under.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think do you think 50 is too much for this? Do you think it's probably about right in the retail market we're in today?
That's a really tough. I think that in the original line, with Micro Machines being so hot and really at their apex at the time that Supervan City was released, you could get away with that one big price point item. But in the current marketplace, this is kind of a head scratcher, because to me it feels like saying we're bringing back G.I. Joe and the first item is the USS flag, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I almost feel like, you know, I guess they went with the go big or go home strategy. I feel like I probably would have tried to kind of dip my toe in the water and do a bunch of the little like $5 and $10 sets and then see how that fared before I went all in like this. But
they have a lot of confidence behind it then.
I hope they do. I mean, at the start of this one, I said that I probably wouldn't be picking it up. Like, that's no knock on Micro Machines. Like, I think they're awesome, and I hope it does really well, because it was one of my favorites as a kid. In my current collection, I don't really have a place for it. Yeah. But, I think this is a great centerpiece for that. And it is kind of cool, actually, though. I guess, in a way, this is almost like, to use an analogy, it's like, building a puzzle and starting with the edges. You know, like, you need that one big thing that everything else links to kind of build out your massive city. So, it's a pretty exciting way to start, really. I hope it does great and leads to all kinds of things, but I can't imagine we're going to see anything bigger or better than this at Toy Fair, so I wonder why they would have...
kind of blown their load before Toy Fair, yeah. I've got a feeling it's going to be a lot of product, because obviously with them being really small, it means they can churn out probably quite a lot, and they can redo a lot of recolors and a lot of repaints and things like that, so... Yeah, I'm obviously there were so many cool features. The color change ones were amazing. You know, like kind of, I think there was the like, I think it was watercolor changes, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was the car wash that had like dirty cars that you would wet or cold, hot or cold would turn them wet, clean or dirty.
So brilliant. So brilliant. So like things like that, I'm really excited to see. I think there were heat change or color sun changes as well. I remember having some on the windowsill that would change color, but that could have just been the heat. In any case, I'm really excited.
The next fantasy question, then. Do you think, with Jazzwares being the one doing this, will we be seeing... I think Fortnite is probably pretty likely, but more importantly for us, will we be seeing G.I. Joe?
Well, that's a very good point, because obviously with... This is the most convoluted kind of setup. I mean, first it was Wicked Cool Toys that acquired the license. Then Jazzwares acquired Wicked Cool Toys. Hasbro are in league with Jazzwares, so it creates this, like, everyone's in bed with each other kind of thing. And you just wonder why Hasbro just don't buy everyone involved and just call it a day in this sense. But yeah, I guess we will be, you know, that's a very good possibility that we'll see G.I. Joe based things, you know, and it could be a reason why Jazzwares, they acquired the license to do multiple different things, didn't they? Obviously action figures has come out as something they're going to be doing. That doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be doing action figures that Hasbro are going to be doing, but it does mean they're going to be doing some sort of action figure. So G.I. Joe is going to have multiple points of merchandise this year, which is both amazingly exciting for me and making me also very anxious, because I just, how are we going to be able to afford all of this in one go? Because it's going to happen. We're going to get like classified 6-inch figures. We're going to get 4-inch of some description. We're going to get possibly even more from Jazzwares, even more merchandise that comes along with it. The movie tie-in stuff, the possibility that Joe could be merched throughout these other lines that are owned by Jazzwares. I mean, holy shit, man, the fact that people have been talking about G.I. Joe being almost a dead property, or has been a dead property, to come back so quickly and so soon after something has effectively died is quite remarkable, isn't it?
I hope everybody spent their 2019 G.I. Joe vacation saving their money, is all I gotta say. Because they're ready to start this decade by draining you.
Oh, it's gonna be tough, isn't it? Jeez.
I hope that they, you know, if we're just going all out fantasy crazy here, I actually hope that Micro Machines does do a USS flag, because think about how you could scale all the little vehicles. You know, you can
sky strike vehicles. Oh my god!
That'd be so cool.
If that isn't revealed at Toy Fair, then everyone's failed us, haven't they?
They have.
But that's a great shout, and this has been a great burst. Adam, thank you, mate, for jumping on and chatting with me about Supervan City and life.
No doubt, y'all.
Mate, that's it for this installment of the Full Force News Burst. Thank you to my awesome co-host, Adam Snitches Get Stitches Riches, Madam. See you next time, and as always, if it ain't the Full Force, it ain't the real thing. Peace. Drop the mic. Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing and commenting on these videos, and as always, you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter @TheFullForce, liking the Facebook page facebook.com/TheFullForce, and if you would like to contact the show, you can message us on either of those platforms with feedback or questions. We have also started a Patreon page, so if you want to see your name up in lights on these videos or enjoy exclusive bonus content, then check out patreon.com/TheFullForce podcast, or click the link on any of the posts this podcast appears in. Full Force.